Hope that you're also participating starting Wednesday, this past Wednesday, in our 21 days of prayer. For the next 21 days, we are believing God, trusting God for things in our lives. I don't know what you might be trusting the Lord for, but we have had people who could not get pregnant, get pregnant. We've had people who were needing a job, get jobs provided. Lots of different things that have happened during the 21 days of prayers. We've done it year after year. And so I don't know what the Lord might do for you and through you, but most of all, I know He'll do something on the inside. Whether He does anything on the outside or not, I know that He'll do something on the inside of your heart as you spend some extra time in prayer and perhaps even fasting in prayer during these 21 days. And then we will culminate these 21 days. Again, I want you to not lose sight of this with a night of worship on February the 6th. So be sure and be with us then. I'm still a little struggling today with a virus that I had, and so week number two. So hopefully I can wear it out before it wears me out. I'm about worn out with it, but you know how that goes. But today I'm excited about the message that I'm excited about this series. My gosh, we got, last week, if you weren't here, there's no way that the podcast, I love having the podcast. I had somebody this week said, thank God for the podcast. And it is an awesome tool so that you can kind of be here when you're not here. And also so you can even rehear. Perhaps you need to rehear what was told or shared or taught. But last Sunday, to experience it, was awesome, and there were about 500 or so of us here, so even on a crazy snowy weekend, once again, there was still hundreds of people here worshiping the Lord, and it was just a powerful, powerful day. So today, again, I want to talk about one of the four things that we believe here at Crossroads will help you to live life to the full. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. One translation says more abundantly. So more than what the world would have to offer, more than what anything else would have to offer, it is what God has to offer. So today we're going to look at the second part of this series. Now, to set this up, let me just say that Americans love independence. Is that not true? I mean, we love our independence. Can you remember, some of you it's not too long ago, others of us it's been a few years, but I can still remember it vividly, getting my driver's license, right? And first of all, you get a permit. Everybody remember that? You got a permit, and so you had to have an adult with you in the car to be able to drive. But then the day came, come on somebody, right? When no longer did you have to have anyone else in the vehicle, you could go wherever you wanted to go. And parents that experience this with your kids is a whole different thing, isn't it? But you know, when you think about aspects of independence, some of them are not so great. It's great for us as a country to have independence. It's great for us as a nation to be able to have independence, to be able to vote for whoever we want to vote for. But as an individual, it is not God's plan for us to live independent lives. What's great for a group is not for an individual. Jesus came and died for your freedom, but not your independence. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. He has set us free, but not free to live alone. Not free to be independent of others. But yet, there's something in you, there's something in me that wants to do it ourselves. Have you ever heard a little kid say, I do it myself. I do it myself. You know, and some of us, we kind of have that mentality. I'll fix it. And there's times where my wife's like, you know, just stop fixing it. Just leave it alone, all right? Because sometimes we can make matters worse by our independence, by our isolation. And listen, the enemy wants us to be isolated. He wants us to feel alone because here's what happens. We'll make statements like these. I just can't help myself. And so we'll think, well, that's the reason why I am the way that I am. It's just me. But how many of you know that's a lie? It's not just you. You can change you. Who knows where I'd be today? How about you if it were just me? How many of us, we had some parents involved, right? Maybe you had a teacher involved that said, you are a bright student. You have a great future ahead. Or maybe you had a pastor or a youth pastor that spoke life into you. We've had different people who have come our way, maybe coworkers that said, you know, you're really good at that. And it lifted us to a whole nother level. So it's a myth to think that we can do it by ourselves. Or we'll say something like, I've got to protect myself. You know, people have hurt me before. Well, here's what I want to say. Join the club. Right? Because if you've been around more than two people, you should have been hurt by now, right? It's just going to happen. It's a fact of life. People will hurt us. But walls cut us off, not just from people. Listen to this. Walls cut us off from promise of what we could be. Maybe you're here and you think, well, I just don't want to get hurt again. Let me tell you something. You're not just cutting people off. You're cutting your promise off of what you could be. Your potential is cut off. Or we'll say something like, I've got this. I've got it. I can take care of myself. But we know that there are times where you just can't do it on your own, where you're overwhelmed. And all these statements are myths. And what I want us to do today is move from myth to maturity so that we can be all that God wants us to be. How many of you, deep down inside, you really do want to be all that God wants you to be, right? You don't want to get up to heaven and God say, oh, here's what all you could have done. Here's what could have been in your life. And you'll be like, oh my gosh, who would have thought? Who would have known? And you feel so, like you didn't live up to your potential. Jesus provides a freedom from our shame, our guilt, and our past. And I want to show you today the power that comes in connection. There's true freedom from living connected to the right things in our lives. If you'll look with me today at the first church, this is the very first church birthed from the womb of God in the book of Acts, right after Jesus has ascended to heaven after his resurrection, then they began, the disciples and others began to live out the teachings of God. And it was times of crisis. It was times of struggle and even beyond what you and I would know today. And here's the thing, is sometimes it takes a fire. Sometimes it takes a flood. Sometimes it takes a divorce. Sometimes it takes a death in order to get our attention and help us to realize we need other people. But I hope before it takes those things, that you'll see the power, that you'll see the potential, that you'll see the promise in being all God wants you to be by being connected with others. I want us to look together at some ways that we can connect together. So if you have a Bible, turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, and we'll start reading a few verses together, beginning in verse 31. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. In this first church, the way we see these people getting connected, the first thing that you can write down today is they were connected through prayer. They were connected through prayer. They didn't just pray on their own, and it's great that we can. How many are grateful that you can just pray wherever you are? It doesn't make any difference. You can be in your car. You can be trapped under a car and can't get out, and you're yelling for help or whatever it is. But you can yell to God. You can speak to Him. You can shout to Him, and He will hear us when we pray. But they prayed together, and the place was shaken. I heard someone say one time, "We don't pray together, and therefore we're shaken." You know, we don't come into agreement together. We lose out on the power of agreement in prayer. They prayed together. And you may be here today and you say, "Well, you know, Craig, if I were to be really honest, I kind of struggle with prayer." You know, praying and praying daily and setting aside time for prayer. Here's what I would do. I want to encourage you in a couple of very practical things. One is go back to the podcast of August and listen to the teaching that we did for 6 weeks on the Lord's Prayer. Week by week for 6 weeks, we went through every phrase of the Lord's Prayer to help us to know how to pray. Because when the disciples asked Jesus, "How do we pray? Could you teach us how?" That Lord's Prayer is what He taught them so that they could know how to pray. And so we spent 6 weeks as a church, and you can access it from the website or you can download it through iTunes, whatever, but it's easy to get it right direct off the front page of the website. But then in addition to that, we also have a prayer guide that's available that you can download. And we made this accessible last week for the 21 days of prayer. We texted it out, mass text. So if you're on our text list, you should have received it. It's also on our Facebook community page, and you can download this practical guide on how to pray. So in other words, what I'm saying is no excuses, all right? No excuses anymore for struggling with prayer, because we provided things for you to help you with that. So you need the help of others. It's just like, you know, you need to be a part of that 6 weeks of teaching to know how to better talk to God. And sometimes it's good just to be around people. Have you ever been around a person that just seems like they know God? Have you ever been around somebody like that? Where it's like, I don't pray like that. I mean, it's like he's in the room. It's like he's sitting across the table. And it's good for us to get around others who pray with a touch, with a fervency, with a connection maybe that you don't have or you don't feel, because it inspires us to go after God more. That's how I feel. I feel like, oh, I want to be more like that. I want to pray to God more like that. And so we need to understand the power that comes in prayer together. Look at Matthew 18, 19. It says, if we agree, if any two of you on earth agree about anything that we ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. It's one of my favorite scriptures. because it's the power of agreement. I mean, there's answers to prayer. We have prayer partners who come down to the front pretty much every single Sunday. There's an opportunity for you to do this verse with someone else. To say, hey, will you come into agreement? Because you know, Matthew 18:19 says, if any two of us, so I don't even know you, but if two of us will agree, any two will agree is touching anything that we will ask, it shall be done. And so when we come and agree and we have answers to prayer, people, we have healings. We have people who get jobs supplied. We have people whose lives are turned around as a result of walking the aisle and coming down here for prayer. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now, listen, I know he's in my car. I know he's in my house when I'm in there all alone. I know he's in my office when I'm there all alone. But there's just an extra special power, it seems, that is often released when two or three or 200 are gathered together in his name. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I can sing these songs that we sing anywhere. I can sing them at home. I can sing them in my office. I can sing them on my way to work or whatever it is. But I love singing it with you. Come on, somebody. I mean, when I sing it with you, it's all the better. I feel his presence all the more. And it's because he said, when two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there in the midst of them. And when his presence is here, his power is here. And it's a power maybe that we don't possess on our own. That's the reason why you can't just sit at home and listen to the podcast or whatever. Or in the future, we're hoping to be able to show you the podcast. You'll be able to see the actual messages online. But even at that point, it's still not the same as being in the room and gathered together in prayer. Look at the next verse, Acts chapter 4, verse 32. It says, all the believers then were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Write down, we are also to be connected through faith. We're to be connected through faith. Prayer brings the power of God, and people bring the potential of God in our lives because people are part of God's plan for our lives. And somebody said, wrote a song years ago, we all need somebody to lean on, right? I mean, it might be today, and it might be next week, and it might be next year, but we all need somebody to lean on, right? And here's what Solomon, the wisest man of his day, said, two are better than one. He just said that. He said, two, I'm telling you, two are better than one. Any day. Well, why, Solomon? Because if one falls down, the other can pick them up. How many have ever needed somebody else to pick you up, right? If you haven't, you will. The day will come when you'll need somebody. And people may be where your greatest pain has been. Anybody like that? I mean, people have caused the greatest pain of your life. But let me tell you something, that's not the reason to give up on people, because people can also be the greatest potential of your life, to achieve the promise of your life. You know, it's kind of like trying to put the puzzle together without all the pieces. You can't do it. We were trying to put a puzzle together the other day at home. My daughter loves getting all these 1,000 pieces out, you know, and my wife just loves that. Not really, but get it all out there and then try to put it together. And every once in a while, we were like, I don't think this piece is here. Yeah. You ever been like that? We're like, I think we're missing a piece. And then, you know, half an hour later or whatever it is, oh, there it is. See, it was there all the time. But you need all the pieces to put the picture together. And we need every person in our life. You know, a small group like our life groups are places where we can hold each other up when we're weak. Sometimes, I don't know if you've experienced this, but I experience this a lot, where sometimes it just feels like it's easier to believe God for somebody else than it is to believe God for you. Anybody with me on that? Man, I can pray healing all over somebody else, but trusting for my own, that's a different thing. And sometimes you just need to get around people who can believe for you, who can believe for your life and trust God in your situation that you can do this. Brother, you can make it. Sister, you're going to go on through. I'm trusting God for you. I believe the miracle is just ahead. It's going to happen. Don't you give up. Don't you give in. Don't you quit. Don't you fail to trust God this week. I just know every hour of every day I'm agreeing with you in prayer. I'm believing with you. How many know that builds you up? That encourages you. That enables you sometimes to just get through the week, right? And this is his plan. See, it said in that verse that they had it all in common. They lived in common. And most importantly, they lived in love with the Lord. And that's why you need life groups. You need other people who love the Lord, who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And so today, I want to encourage you, if you're not in one of our life groups, sign up today. Sign up right where you are. Sign up on the form and just put there that I need to be in a life group. I'm not in one. And get connected. Now, next week, we'll have a life group connection. And so that's like no excuse weekend for you to not be in a life group. And so next week, we will purposefully do everything in our power to get you connected into a group. And again, OnRamp is another opportunity to meet other people from the church to get better connected in. Listen, the Bible says, if you want friends, show yourself friendly. It doesn't say it's everybody else's fault. You better go somewhere else. You better, it's those people there, whatever. Quit blaming it on everybody else. The Bible says if you want friends, you do it. You show yourself. I'm telling you, if you want friends, sign up today, right where you are. You can do that. Next week, you could go to Life Group Connection, and you could stop making excuses. Listen, if I got this hand, isn't this something? I got this hand this week from my staff, all right? I was like, don't we have a hand around here that's floating around? And they said, yeah. And this hand shows up in desk drawers and cabinets and closets and hanging down in people's offices and stuff like that and gets kind of passed around just as kind of a joke. But what I wanted to show you today is just a simple illustration. You know, if I cut my hand off, it would still be my hand. But it wouldn't be able to do what it can do when it's connected to the body. And the same thing with you. You can go on through life, and you can still be the hand, like Paul said. Or you can be the ear, you can be the nose, or whatever. But if you're cut off from the body, you're not accomplishing all that you could accomplish. You're not being as effective as what you could be if you were to get connected to the body. I want you to see this story and listen to it. Let it speak to you today.
I'm Jessie Carnes, and I've been attending Crossroads for just over 3 years. What life looked like before I started getting connected and plugged in, I would say unbalanced is the best word. I would come to church on Sundays, and I had one friend who lived out of town, so her and I would discuss the message, and she would guide me how she could through my different questions. But I really didn't have much of a community outside of that, so I would just come on Sundays, smile, and leave right after service without connecting with anyone. So I would say about 2 years ago, life just got hard. Again, I'd been coming to church on Sundays faithfully and doing what I thought in my own private time to grow a relationship, but I found myself with some hardships. My marriage wasn't where I wanted it to be. My job certainly wasn't what I wanted it to be, and just completely, almost to the, I was broken. Woke up and would have all sorts of anxiety, didn't know who to talk to, what to do. I would call my friend again, who was out of town, and she finally just said, she'd been hinting at it along the way, but she finally just said, you know that amazing church that you attend every Sunday? They're here for that. And I was like, oh, I think you're onto something. So it took a little bit to chew on that, go over it. And one day when I was just feeling at a really low point, I emailed Crossroads. I said, I don't know what there is, who can talk to me. And by God, I was connected with Kyle. And that meeting probably transformed my entire connection with Crossroads. We met. He was kind, patient, listened to me, gave me some resources, invited me to sign up for Starting Point, which I did, and I think it started that next January. So went to that, and I was like, okay, whatever you have for me, let's do this. So went through that course, met a lady who was like, hey, are you in a life group? I'm like, no. Are you in a life group? No. She's like, do you want to see about starting one for us? And I was like, that'd be great. So we got started that way. So through stepping out, I was able to start making connections. And just it evolved from there. I started meeting, I would actually attend things and try to meet people. Got connected with Cassie, who then led me to my mentor today, Jeray. She's been a blessing in my life. She's the person that I would call in any hard circumstance to just lift me up, and the connections beyond that. I also lead a life group, and the ladies that I have in community with me, you know, we meet bi-weekly, but it's more than that. You know, I look forward to seeing them on Sunday, catching up with them, sending texts through the week if one of us is going through something hard. So that's really, really how I've gotten connected, and it's been great. Since being connected here at Crossroads, life has changed. The one thing is I'm not the person running out the door at the end of service. In fact, they're the ones saying, oh, we're going to lock up. but I stay, and I enjoy the fellowship after church just as much as being in service, and really just providing that connection with people. And I want them to see that the life's been hard, and through the connections and with God behind me, I've really been able to stand firm. Times where in the past I probably would have turned away from God, the connections and the encouragement that I had actually brought me closer to God. Happy to say that my marriage at one point didn't know what the outcome would be, and today it's the strongest I ever thought I could imagine. I always prayed to God to help me figure out what that looked like and how to get through it. And I would say knowing my faith in Him and bringing me closer to Him, I wanted my marriage to survive, but God was my focus through all of it. Through that, I was able to find out who I truly was and how I could be the best wife. And thankfully, God saved my marriage, and I believe that to the end. And again, it's literally because of God. So life gets hard, but without my connections and without my faith in God, I wouldn't be where I am today.
That awesome? It's wonderful. And you can multiply that story over and over again. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 33, the very next verse. Here's what it says. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. Write down, we are also to be connected through promise. We're to be connected through promise. You know, the great resurrection is the greatest event that ever happened in the world, bar none. Easy. I mean, it's only happened one time where the Savior came, rose from the dead. Nobody else, Buddha, Muhammad, no one else has pulled this off. And so his promises are greater than any promise or any situation, any difficulty that we'll face. You know, it's kind of like that thing when you were a kid and you said, my dad can beat up your dad. You know, you ever remember that? Well, listen, that's how it is in the kingdom of God. My dad can beat up your dad, right? My dad can take anything. My dad can handle any situation, any demon, any devil, any spirit of the enemy that comes against you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. People in the New Testament church used to use this greeting. It was a word that they used called Maranatha. And what Maranatha means, most translators believe that it meant the Lord is coming. And so what they would do instead of saying, hello, how you doing, what's up? Instead of saying those kinds of things, they would say, Maranatha. Now, I don't know if you can imagine or not, but let's say you're going through one of the toughest days of your life. You're going through one of the greatest struggles of your life. Maybe your marriage, maybe your finances, maybe it's in your family, maybe it's with your kids, maybe, you know, as a kid, you're trying to figure out what my future is, and you're just struggling and trying to figure it all out. And then you meet somebody from church, right? And they say, Maranatha. Now here's what they're saying: the Lord is coming. Now, I don't know about you, but that helps me today. That the Lord is coming helps me with today. Helps me with whatever diagnosis I might get. Helps me with whatever my marriage might be doing. Helps me with whatever my finances may be doing or not doing. Whatever's going on in my life, whatever struggles are coming my way, just knowing as someone's encouragement, the Lord is coming. That just kind of puts it into perspective. How about you? Because if he comes back, guess what? It doesn't make any difference what my finances are doing. It doesn't make any difference what my health condition is. It doesn't make any difference what's going on in the world or what's going on in the country or what's going on around me. Those promises from God can lift you up. Let me just wind this up today by saying, we need people in our lives that encourage us. You know, most of our life groups study the sermons again. They go back over them again. And here's why we do that as a church. Because there's a verse that says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what that verse literally means is faith comes by hearing over and over again the word of God. You can't just hear it once and have it. Anybody with me on that? Yeah. You know, you just can't hear it once and, oh, I got that one. I wish it were that easy, but it's not that easy. And that's the reason why in life group, when you come around in a circle and you circle up around this passage again, and you circle up around these thoughts again, and somebody says, you know, here's how that practically played out in my life. And you think, oh my gosh, it's as though God put this person in this circle just to speak to me right now. Because they're saying exactly what I need to hear. They're saying exactly what I need to have told to me. And then sometimes, maybe God will stretch you. And this may be a stretch for some of you. You'll be the one that shares with somebody else. And you'll go home feeling so good that God used your life tonight in a circle to speak to somebody else who maybe was about to give up, or they were so lost, they were so struggling, they were so confused, and you brought clarity, you brought power, you brought a word from God into their life that enabled them to go forward. See, groups, connecting together with people is God's way. It's just God's way. It's God's way of growing you. It's God's way of using you. And it's God's way of blessing you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you give hope, help, and healing through connections. There have been times in my life when I've needed hope, I've needed help, I've needed healing, and it came through somebody else. So God, help us today to understand that. Maybe you're here this morning, you'd say, Craig, I feel like maybe I needed this message today because I've kind of been hurt by people before, and there's a part of me that just wants to pull back then as a result. And what I'm really doing is I'm short-circuiting myself. I'm hurting what people could do to help me. And I'm also cutting off the blessing of God that could flow out of my life into somebody else's. And if you're here today and you'd say, I want that to happen in my life. I want God to use me. I want to be connected to others. I want to be better connected to others than I've ever been before, because I want to reach my potential and I want to help others to reach their potential too. Would you just raise your hand with me and say, yes, that's me today. Father, you see every hand that's raised. And for some of us, it's going to take another step. We're going to need to fill out that form today in our seat. We're not going to be able to leave this room before we do that to really obey you. For others of us, we're going to have to be here next Sunday and go to that life group connection, because otherwise we're just never going to get in a group. We're just going to always say, well, I'm so busy, or I'll get around to it one of these days. But God, help us today to take the next step, to do what's important, and to make it a priority so we can live up to our potential for you. Maybe there's others of you here today, and maybe the connection you lack in your life is a connection with God. Maybe that connection is broken. Maybe something happened in your life, and as a result, you kind of gave up on God, or maybe you just kind of broke connection with Him. But today, I want to encourage you and invite you to reestablish or establish that connection with Him. And let God be awesome in your life here this morning. If you'd like that to happen, would you just raise a hand and say, yes, I do need to establish or reestablish. Yes, I see that hand. How many others? All right, let's pray this prayer. Just all church family, pray this with me. And that way it'll encourage anyone who raised a hand. Just say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me, to establish a connection so that I can come before you. I know I'm not worthy, but because of what Jesus did, I believe that I am worthy. Because His blood covers my sin, His sacrifice paid for me, now I'm able to come. And so today I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for accepting me as a child of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. Church family, let's welcome those who prayed that prayer. I'm going to ask those who are serving us in communion to go ahead and quickly move back here and go ahead and start distributing that immediately, because this is one other thing that the early church did, is they would come together and they would take bread and they'd take a cup, and it signified the body and the blood of Jesus. And so that's what we're going to do here today. And so maybe those of you could move down that are up, kind of scattered around, if you would, and come a little closer if you can. And we're going to take communion together before we leave this morning, just as a symbol of God's goodness. Gavin, thank you. All right. Paul said, let a person examine themselves when they come before the Lord's table. And so this is a time also to kind of just re-examine our lives and just say, you know, am I making things that are important, important? Am I making things that should be a priority, a priority? Am I making certain that I'm fulfilling the Great Commission? Am I cognizant? Am I aware? Am I staying alert to those around me so that I can reach others for Him? Just ponder maybe some of those things as we get ready to take the communion together. And I believe the Holy Spirit's faithful to speak to our hearts and lives and to help us discern today maybe any opportunity that we need to change or make some additions, make some subtractions in our lives. And the Holy Spirit's faithful to help us to do that. Go ahead, take the bread, take the cup until everyone's served, and hold it in your hand. We'll make sure we don't miss anyone. And then we'll all take the communion together in one accord.